This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Mayor Julie Moore Wolf joins us. She has each and every day since last March when our world ceased to exist as we know it. And here we are, April, a year later, getting closer and closer to the goal line. Let's talk about the local numbers. Not as bad as yesterday, but still, as these variants are showing up, as this contagious nature is a higher percentage with some of these variants and even in younger ages. And I think part of that is because of older people getting vaccines. What's your thought today as we head into the weekend?
Well, we had, I believe, 17 cases yesterday. But what's concerning is if you start looking around, it's not just here where cases are going up. It's Peoria and Champaign and Springfield. So basically a broad brush across central Illinois, we're seeing an increase. And I saw one news like headline, I haven't read the story yet, but that McLean County has seen a dramatic increase in hospitalizations. And they have three hospitals in McLean County, and they're like not at capacity, but they're pretty darn close. And that is a pretty big warning system. Symptom, you know, so we've got to really look at this. You know, our case numbers are going up, which has prompted for the second or third week in a row for Macon County to be in the warning zone. So your number of cases per 100,000, our hospitals are not near capacity as far as COVID cases, but this is not going the right direction, Brian, and we have to be very conscious of that.
And yet I know, as much as I believe everything you just said, there are so many people out there that are just at a saturation level of, I can't hear this anymore.
You know, I know you're right. And what we need is for people to make intelligent choices. And so, you know, the world turned upside down a year ago. We didn't know much of anything, and we didn't know how quickly this spread, if the pizza delivery guy could leave COVID on the cardboard box. I mean, everything was terrifying. But we've hit the point, I think you're right, with the saturation point, because so many things kind of, we turned a corner really quickly, where we had so many people who wanted vaccine, we couldn't get enough, then we finally got enough, and so we very quickly caught up with those that had high demand. Now you've still got the skeptical group that, you know, is vaccine hesitant, and then you've got the anti-this vaccine. They probably are not against the, you know, TB vaccine or taking a, you know, polio vaccine, but for some reason this is just overwhelmingly not allowing them to use their best common sense. Now, sure, we don't know everything about this vaccine, but you know what, Brian? We don't know everything about everything. So
no,
the research is telling us this is the right thing to do.
This is a I think that the anti-vax movement is very small. I mean, I think the people that are absolutely anti-vaccinations, period, is a very small group of people. There's been study after study that shows that almost 70% of the misinformation being spread on social media is originating from about 11 accounts. So we're not talking about massive amounts of people. So, I mean, those hardcore anti-vax, I'm not going to get my kid vaccinated. I'm not going to get vaccinated for anything. It's a small group. I think then you throw in a year of doing this and then all the misinformation that's out there, and then everybody loves a conspiracy. I mean, a few years ago, we went to Brazil, and as part of the entry into Brazil, we had to have two vaccinations. I mean, that it wasn't a question of if you go, your passport, you have to have these two vaccinations. We went to the health department. We got both of the vaccines. We didn't even think about it.
No, and you wouldn't. You know, if you're going someplace like into the rainforest, you know you're going to need vaccines because you don't want to, you know, get malaria or something. And I know nothing about, you know, what you would need. But it's things we didn't think about. And the anti-vaccine people, that's what I'm talking about. It's anti-this vaccine and this vaccine only. They're all good with everything else. And like you said, they wouldn't think twice about it. If they were going on vacation, you have to have this, you know, to take care of us. But it is concerning that these are younger people that are getting sick. And we've had pushback from the, you know, young adult population this entire time. And I don't really know how we get through to them until it affects what they want to do. But in the meantime, you know, it's putting everything at risk. It's putting getting back to normal at risk because this has slowed down our Cross to the Bridge program. You know, we've had 18 different levels and whatevers, but you know, this was the goal. You know, let's get to where we have a vaccine, which a year ago seemed a million years away. You know, but it's here. We can do this. It's just we've got to convince those that are so either hesitant or just absolutely anti this vaccine.
Well, I think that because all of the arguing and the screaming and the yelling, you know, people are being very quiet about this. And I think when young people find that they themselves can get sick or they can have long-term health problems, it's not just a question of living and surviving or dying. There are plenty of people out there that are still, you know, a year later dealing with the ramifications of having COVID-19. It reminds me, and I was watching this Real World thing last night, this reunion from 30 years ago, and in season two of that, was the first one of the first openly gay young men on TV who had AIDS. And you know, you didn't read it in the obituaries, and people were being buried silently, and people didn't put a face to things. And I know this. We know people in this community that have passed away, and if you read the obituary or you look on social media, there's nothing about mentioning it.
And what, you know, and you're dealing with families that are in shock and grief.
And listen, I'm not being judgmental.
It would be so much more helpful if they would help spread the word that this is real and you can lose a loved one. Not a 90-year-old loved one, which matters as well. But what people point to is, you know, a 50-year-old healthy, athletic, with no, you know, predetermined conditions that then just dies within a couple of weeks of getting sick. They don't understand because it's not humanized to them. It's just a number. And we need, you know, it would be very helpful if these families would come out and say, this is what it is. This is what happened.
Yeah, and I'm not judging. You know, everyone has to deal with their grief on their own. But it is part of the problem in communicating this to people is that you're not putting faces to it when everyone out there. Now, I mean, including 3,600 healthcare workers that have died this past year of COVID-19.
Which is, you know, they were the frontline heroes from the beginning and in the worst conditions with very little. I mean, again, we've learned a lot in the last year, but, you know, we did everything we could to protect them. But, you know, some of these places, like, and I don't know if long-term care facility people were included in that or not, but they weren't equipped for infectious disease because they don't deal with it. It's not their thing. You don't bring someone into a long-term care facility with an infectious disease. So they didn't have PPE. They didn't have, you know, direct knowledge or ongoing training as far as I know about this because it wasn't really a priority. And, you know, so we did the best with limited, and we had few supplies too. Remember, we didn't have enough masks or gowns or gloves. We had nothing.
Yeah.
We had homemade mask drives going on. Imagine
I know.
America in 2020.
I know. The crazy thing is, if this happens again and we get a fourth wave, we're looking at some of those same things all over again, which is nuts. 10,032 confirmed cases, 238 people in home isolation, 185 of our fellow brothers and sisters in this community have succumbed to this disease this past year. And still the largest testing group positive is the 20 to 29-year-olds and the 30 to 39-year-olds. And yet those people still, for whatever reason, feel bulletproof. And I'm hoping that the outbreaks or the surge in numbers of younger people is because older people are getting vaccinated, and that's why we're seeing it. But we just don't know with these new variants. Mayor, have a great weekend. We appreciate your leadership, and we thank you very much.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.